ولهن مثل الذي عليهن بالمعروف. وقال تعالى: الرجال قوامون على النساء. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected brothers and sisters and friends, we begin by praising Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending salutations upon our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The topic we have today is a happy marriage, the art of balance. Now, why have we chosen this particular topic with regard to marriage, especially the art of balance? We know in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. We have created this ummah. One of the aspects with regard to this ummah is that it is an ummah that is justly balanced. It is an ummah that adopts moderation. It does not fall short of the limit. It does not go beyond the limit. And this is something that is extremely important for us to understand when we go into the entire program today, inshallah al-aziz. So the first thing is, what is the importance of balance? Today we take to look at moderation very, very lightly. We take it, not as a very significant attribute. Yet, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, khayrul umuri awsatuha. The best of all affairs is that in which moderation is adopted. Now, what is moderation? Moderation is the balance between two extremes, the middle path between two extremes. And in Islam, everything that we do, every aspect is, it is based on moderation. So we find that from the very, even with regard to, for example, Tawheed, what are the two extremes? Let me give you an example. If you have an item in front of you and you got the two extremes, and you can see the two extremes. I've got this laptop in front of me. I've got the two extremes. The middle path I will be able to find very easily, because the middle path will be in the middle between the two extremes. But one aspect sometimes is that we don't know the two extremes. So if you are looking at an item and you don't have the far corners and you don't have the extremes, you will not be able to find the middle path between the two extremes. And I think this is extremely important for us to understand with regard to the balance. So our salvation depends upon it. So balance is the best of all affairs. It represents the middle path between the two extremes. Our salvation depends on maintaining balance, as emphasized by Allah in all matters. Let us take the example of Tawheed. The two extremes. One extreme, people who have adopted atheism, aliyadu billah. The other extreme, people who have taken many lords besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have associated partners to Allah ta'ala. In between is a beautiful moderate path of Islam, which is Tawheed. We don't go into the path of atheism, and we don't associate partners to Almighty Allah. We believe in one Allah. Look at the example of prophethood. So in prophethood, for example, we find that on one extreme has been those who have attributed divinity to their prophets. And on the other extreme are those who have not given proper recognition and respect and reverence to their prophets. وَيَقْتُلُونَ النَّبِيِّينَ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍّ. They even kill their prophets without any justification. So you have these two extremes. In between is a beautiful extreme. I mean, the beautiful moderate path of Islam. What is it? That it has given that respect to its prophet that no other ummah has ever given that type of respect. Yet at the same time, it was extremely sensitive and careful not to attribute any qualities of Allah to our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So much so that Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam one day saw a person that he was making dua, and in that dua he was saying that ma sha Allah wa ma sha Muhammad, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes and what Muhammad wishes. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَتَجْعَلُ لِلَّهِ نِدَّةً. Are you associating me with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And in every aspect, even in conduct, good conduct is where the natural faculties are kept in equilibrium. Right? So we find this anger will be good when it is in equilibrium, in the middle path between inactivity and extreme anger. Intelligence, between deception and stupidity, bravery, between recklessness and being a coward. So in everything we are told with regard to it to adopt moderation. The same thing with regard to our marital issues. So we find that anger balances between inactivity and pride, intelligence. It is a balance between deception and stupidity, bravery, a balance between recklessness and cowardice. So in everything we have been told to keep balance. Khairul umuri awsatuha, the best of all affairs is that in which moderation is adopted. And this ummah's characteristics is that it chooses the moderate path, the middle path between the extremes. Now, the one issue, and there are many things that we could keep in mind with regard to balance in marital life. Now, the two aspects I'm going to make mention of. There are many aspects, and from there we can build on our marital life from the two examples that I will quote and give with regard to balance in these two aspects, and then take that and extend it to all matters of your marital life. One is the balance in spousal roles. So we all know that, for example, the very famous verse in the Holy Quran, Ar-Rijalu Qawwamuna Ala An-Nisa. Allah Ta'ala says, Ar-Rijal, the men. And he doesn't say only the people who have, you know, male, you know, the people who are men in the true sense of the word, are caretakers, qawwamuna ala nisa. They are the caretakers or are in authority over women. Now, the word qawwamun has been interpreted in different ways. Caregiver, authority, the one who protects, the one who guards. Now, in this particular regard, as I've said, what is وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا? You have to know the two extremes to be able to come to the middle path. So what are the two extremes? One is men who must use authority to command or feel that qawamun means my way or the highway. They become oppressive. And there is no doubt whatsoever when control is taken to an extreme degree, it leads to extremism. So on one hand is this extreme, where people feel that the meaning of qawamun is, I'm the boss, just do what I say. I'm not obliged to even listen to you. I'm not even obliged to take into care into account your emotion or your views. It's just my way or the highway. On the other hand, there are the women who are influenced by feminist views, reject the husband's status and responsibilities. Look at how Allah Ta'ala says, Ar-Rijalu Qawwamuna Ala An-Nisa. Allah has made the man in authority or a caregiver of the woman or looking after the woman. Bima faddala Allahu ba'dahum ala ba'd, because Allah has given him that responsibility. Allah has given him that aspect of superiority. Wa bima anfaqu min amwalihim, then because he is financially responsible for the household, for the wife and for the children. And because of that particular responsibility he has been given this privilege. Now, therefore we find that this is the two extremes. But now, one thing we must understand, after understanding the two extremes, what is the moderate path? The first thing is for us to understand what is the meaning of authority in Islam. Islam doesn't look upon authority as a bed of roses. It doesn't look upon authority as throwing your weight around, as I'm the boss, just do as I say. Look at how beautifully our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Sayyidul Qawmi Khadimuhum. The leader of a nation is a servant of the nation. I'm not saying you must take it that absolutely, literally, although some might do so. But the leader of the nation is a servant of the nation. Now, for one thing that we have to say, for a wife or the woman in the household to accept this particular concept mentioned by Allah in the Holy Quran is not only accepting authority, but it is servitude to Allah, who has established the role and the responsibility of the husband. On behalf of the husband, he has to understand, and someone, you know, I was once in a conference, and it was a multi-faith conference, and people were sitting and talking about various aspects of religion, and someone asked the question, and it was a very interesting question. He said that where, if, for example, you say the husband is in authority, what happens if he misuses that authority? What happens if he misuses that authority? Now, remember one thing, I'm going to say it. Please understand it. The solution to misuse of authority is not to eradicate authority. The solution to misuse of authority is not to eradicate authority, but it is to bring control that that authority is not misused. And in Islam, what is that control that the authority must not be abused? The husband is told that just as there are people under your authority, you are on the authority of Allah Ta'ala. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ فِي النِّسَاءِ Fear Allah with regard to the woman who is under your authority. Allah will question you with regard to it. So the solution to the misuse of authority is not to eradicate authority, because that creates chaos. The solution to eradication of authority, the abuse of authority, is to bring control that the authority is not abused. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the husband to understand that he is also under authority. He is supposed to lead by example. He is supposed to provide the right guidance. He is a strong leader, emotionally regulated, well-mannered, well-spoken, respectful. He is kind but not weak. He is humble but not timid. He is proud, proud with regard to the responsibility Allah has given him, but not arrogant. He provides safety and security through words and action. The wife feels secure under the authority of the husband. She does not feel fearful. She feels safety and security. And that is what Islam has found with regard to authority. That is why when you find our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he didn't take the view with regard to authority that I can do whatever I want. He didn't take care of the emotions and the feelings of the wives. No. That's not what he did. He took into account what he had done. We all know the famous incident at the time of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes into his tent and he comes and he sees Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala anha. And Umm Salma said, Ya Rasulullah, she was a very matured woman. And she said, Ya Rasulullah, what is it? I can see that you are disturbed. What is the reasons for your disturbance? So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the treaty has been signed. Part of the treaty is that the Sahaba must take out of the ihram. They must shave their hair and they must take out the ihram. I told them to take off the ihram, but they are not responding. Normally, whenever I tell them something, immediately they hasten to respond. Here they are reluctant, not because of rebelliousness, but because of disappointment. And because of that, they are, you know, taking it time and they are not responding as normally they do. Umm Salma said, Ya Rasulullah, they are not doing it out of rebelliousness. They are doing it because of disappointment. What you do, O Prophet of Almighty Allah, you go in the middle. You take out your ihram. You get your head, the hair of your head shaved. And then you will see that they will follow suit. And that's exactly what our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did. So this is very important for us to understand the two extremes that exist and the middle path between these two extremes. Finding the sweet spot or balance between one side and another is a challenge which sometimes people do not master. So that is one of the aspects of getting the right balance in terms of the spousal's responsibility and the spousal's role in the marriage. The next aspect which is very important is the balance between work and career while fulfilling the rights of the wife and the household. Now, why is this? Why do we need the balance in this? We need the balance first because fulfilling domestic responsibility is a religious obligation. Looking after your wife, looking after the children, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ Be kind to yours, your wives. فَإِنْ كَرِهْتُمُهُنَّ If you dislike something of your wife, perhaps you dislike one trait, but Allah Ta'ala has kept many other beautiful qualities in her. It is a command of Allah. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, إِسْتَوْسُوا بِالنِّسَاءِ خَيْرًا I make wasiyyah to you. I emphasize upon you I advise you to treat your woman kindly. Right? Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told the woman, for example, to be obedient and to accept that is the authority of the husband in matters that are reasonable and according to the Sharia. And we know the famous hadith that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is not permissible for anyone to bow down in front of anyone in Islam. If it was, I would have told the woman to do so with regard to the husband. It's a well-known hadith and we have to make mention with regard to it. Yet at the same time, we also have a responsibility to provide material needs to our household, to our wives. And I must make mention with regard to it that it's important for us to understand that this material world is a tremendous opportunity for us in gaining the pleasure of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to understand that this material world, we must look at that positive. While there are many aspects and many Quranic ayats and ahadith which tells us about the negative of this material world, especially when it makes us neglectful of Allah Ta'ala, makes us neglectful of fulfilling our rights towards human beings. لَا تُلْهِكُمْ أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. O believers, do not allow your wealth to make you neglectful of Allah and to make you neglectful of your responsibility. لَا تُلْهِكُمْ أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. So this is one aspect with regard to wealth, but Allah Ta'ala of the Holy Quran has also made mention with regard to the positive aspects of material world. Right? So he said, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, La ba'sar bil ghina. There is nothing wrong with wealth for a person who fears Allah, because he will use wealth correctly. He will fulfill his responsibility to his household, to his wife, to his children, and he will use it to propagate the message of Islam. He will help other people. Look at how, I won't go into many other aspects, but let me look into one aspect. And that is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says with regard to a most beautiful aspect with regard to the wealth in Surah Ar-Rum. وَابْتَغِي فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ. Seek with what Allah has given you in terms of material wealth. Seek the akhirat. Make your akhirat with your wealth. وَلَا تَنْسَ نَسِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Don't forget your share of this material world. So you can live comfortably, buy a good conveyance. Don't forget your share. وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. Be good to others the way Allah has been good to you. وَلَا تَبْغِي الْفَسَادَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And do not create corruption in the earth with your wealth. Four things Allah has told people to do with wealth. Seek the akhirat with your wealth. And don't forget your share. With regard to your needs, see to it your needs are met. Even be comfortable with regard to it. إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ. Someone asked Nabi Karim SAW, Ya Rasulullah, is it pride to wear good clothes? No. Allah is beautiful. Allah loves beauty. Wear good clothes. Buy the best of conveyance. Live a comfortable life. But at the same time, be good to others the way Allah has been good to you. If Allah has given you wealth, the way someone had said, don't build longer walls to protect yourself from the entire community. Make your table long to be able to feed people and be good to other people. And don't create corruption with your wealth. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua, Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min batri al-ghina wa madallati al-faqr. O Allah, I seek your protection from the arrogance of wealth, and I seek your protection from the helplessness of poverty. A beautiful thing. So balancing work, career with fulfilling the rights of the household, fulfilling domestic responsibility is a religious obligation. Taking care of our needs and acquiring halal risk is also a religious obligation. How do we get? Islam allows for accumulation of wealth for needs, but warns against obsession. And that is why in marital life, we can't become so obsessed with our wealth and career that we then afterwards neglect the wife and the household. We can't become so busy in acquiring more and more wealth to the detriment of our rights to Allah and our rights to human beings. Therefore, there are so many ayats and ahadith in which our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has warned us with regard to this obsession. One hadith which many a times the khatib reads in Jummah, Ala wa inna nafsan lan tamut hatta tastakmila rizqaha. no soul will die until he hath received all its provisions. No soul will die until it completes its provisions. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ فِي اللَّهِ وَأَجْمِلُوا فِي التَّلَبِ وَتَوَكَّلُوا عَلَيْهِ. Be moderate in the acquisition of your wealth. Huh? Focus on permissible means and avoid what is forbidden. Nabi Karim s.a.w. then said, do not let delay in acquiring wealth make you seek it in a haram manner, because you will not get more than what Allah has destined for you. But if you seek it in a haram manner, then it will be to your spiritual disadvantage. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us so many examples. One hadith, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, O Allahumma ja'al ala rizqa Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam quta. O Allah, make the risk and sustenance of the family of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sufficient for their needs. Do not let us become so that we want so much luxuries that we become obsessed with that. In fact, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make dua. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say that, O Allah, do not make this material world akbar hammina, the highest of our aspirations. And the reason why we gain ilm, and do not make it the be all and the end all of our desires. We're not supposed to make the world everything to the detriment of other things. And there are so many examples. One hadith, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, Man asbaha minkum aminan fi sirbihi, mu'afan fi jasadihi, indahu quta yawmihi, faka'annama huyizat lahu dunya. That Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, whoever gets up in the morning, secure, safe. He got up, he's safe. In South Africa, that's a great ni'mah to be getting up in the morning, safe and secure. Having provisions for the day, healthy. Then he has been given the entire treasures of this material world. Right, in one hadith, just to show you the emphasis and the balance. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one occasion spoke about a person will be brought, and this is in Mishkatul Masabih, in the hadith book. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said a person will ask someone who was wealthy, had wealth in this material world on the day of Qiyamah, what did you do with your wealth? كَجَّمَّعْتُهُ وَثَمَّرْتُهُ. He was said, oh Allah, I accumulated it and I invested it and I made so much of investment that it went more and more. Allah will ask him, what did you do for the sake of the deen, for the sake of Allah, and what did you do with your wealth to send it to help you in the akhirat? And he said, كَجَّمَّعْتُهُ وَثَمَّرْتُهُ. Oh Allah, I have invested it and I have made it so much more. And Allah will say, I didn't ask you about that. I asked, what did you do with your wealth for the year after? And he will say, I've done nothing. And Allah Ta'ala will punish him because of that. So we need to understand that while we have an obligation to provide for the family, it should not be to such an extent, to such an obsession, that we forget being good to the family and not being there for them and not spending time for them. And part of the shari'i responsibility is to provide good companionship and time to the family. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, all entertainment are lahu, are batil, right? Except for three things, archery, right? And then Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, horse riding and leisure time with one spouse. All lahu, all entertainment is batil, is not valid. It has got no higher purpose. Except these three things. Spend time with your spouse has been regarded by our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as one of the most valuable ways to spend your spare time. Right? That's how we are supposed to be. So someone had said, you know, say that today a Muslim woman spends half her life looking for a husband and the other half wondering where he is. You know? So sometimes you also have the situation, we don't pay enough attention to this. Now, you know, there's also another one humorous statement. They said, when a man tells a wife, I'm 5 minutes, I'm at home. And when a woman tells the husband, in 5 minutes, I'm ready, that 5 minutes are the same. Yeah? Both the times, it never happens according to that 5 minutes. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day told a sahabi, One Sahabi got married to a woman who was much elder than him in age. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu told him, why didn't you get married to someone who was your age or slightly younger than you in age, who was compatible with you, that you could have entertained one another, you could have taken delight in the company of one another? Then he gave his reason. He said, Ya Rasulullah, my father passed away in the Battle of Uhud. I had small siblings. I didn't want to add another, you know, young woman. I wanted someone more mature to help me with my siblings. But what did Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said? Huh? What did he say? Why didn't you get married to someone that you could spend time with one another? You could entertain one another. Spouses should provide each other with good companionship, sharing good times together. Like, for example, going for a walk, discussing light-hearted matters with a sense of humor are effective ways of strengthening the bond of marriage and providing wonderful companionship to each other. The example of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is mentioned in the books of Hadith, that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went out, and one day he went to race with Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was young initially, and she said, I outraced Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Right? And then afterwards, after a long period of time, after several years, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was going on an expedition, and he told the Sahaba, you carry on, I'm going to spend time with my wife. Can you imagine a sheikh or someone, a maulana, telling the people in the congregation, you know, leave me alone, I'm going to spend time with my wife. And they said, this time Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam raced with Aisha. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala said, this time Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam outraced me. And she even used the word, inni qad balantu, I had picked up weight. And because of that, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam outraced me. Subhanallah. So we need to understand. So these are a type of things that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala was asked, what did Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do when he entered the house? Sometimes we think that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam only made ibadat when he came home. Yes, he did it. We all know the famous hadith that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Hazrat Aisha said, he used to make so much of ibadat that his feet used to swell. Blisters used to appear. But what did Hazrat Aisha said? That what did he used to do? He said, when he entered the house, he used to be in the servitude of his family. Let me repeat that. In Bukhari Sharif, Hazrat Aisha was asked, what did Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do when he came into the house? She replied, he used to be in the servitude of his family. And one hadith says, he used to sew and mend his own clothes. He used to sometimes even clean the house. Huh? And he used to do some things that are domestic chores. You know, if some of our elderly Indian women hear this, you know, they will be turning their graves. They will be saying, I'm matero to bailo baningyo. He's become, you know, a servant of his wife. But that's what our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did. You know, it is important for husbands to provide this kind of help, especially in certain instances where you don't have domestic help, or in a family, in a nuclear family, in an extended family, and you do not enjoy the assistance of other help, then this is important that the husband plays this role. So we need to find the right balance. And let me just conclude with regard to this beautiful example of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But before that, let me give you the example of Salman al-Farsi and Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Salman al-Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu was paired with Abu Darda as his brother. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam paired them. Salman Farsi came home and he saw Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu's house completely disheveled, untidy, not well kept. And he saw Ummi Darda, this was before the time of Parda. Ummi Darda radiallahu ta'ala anha was not well kept, and she was not, you know, she was not in a way that was presentable or something like that. And he said, Ummi Darda, what's going wrong with you? Why are you not paying attention to the house and yourself? And Ummi Darda said, your brother Abu Darda has no need for this. He doesn't come to me, he doesn't spend time with me, and when he's here, he's only in ibadat. So Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu said, let me fix this. So when they were came to eat, Abu Darda said, I'm fasting. Salman Farsi said, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to eat until you eat with me. So Abu Darda was forced to eat. After Isha, he said, I'm going to make ibadat. Salman Farsi said, no, you can't make ibadat now. You have to rest, you have to spend time with your family. And when the time is right, I will tell you when to go and make ibadat. He only allowed him to make ibadat towards the latter portion of the night, closer towards the time of Sehri. The matter was brought in front of our beloved Nabi Akram Sallam, and Nabi Akram Sallam gave a ruling in favor of Salman al-Farsi. And this particular phrase is mentioned in the books of hadith, inna limalika alayka haq wa li zawjika alayka haq wa li zawrika alayka haq, that your wealth has a right upon you, your family has a right upon you, your wife has a right upon you. Even in ibadat, you cannot spend so much time in ibadat that you forget the rights of your family. Right? So Nabi Karim Sallam emphasized spending quality time with the family. The very famous and the most beautiful example has been quoted in Shama'il al-Tirmidhi. And this is very, very amazing. One day Nabi Karim Sallam heard a story which the wives of Nabi Sallam, and in particular Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, related it to our beloved Nabi Karim Sallam. So this is a very interesting incident. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala said, Ya Rasulullah, it was something that was in poetry form, that, you know, 11 women got together and they started discussing their husbands. And they said, listen, discuss about your husbands and don't leave out anything. Now, this was before the time of Islam, right? And each and everyone started speaking, the bad and the positive and the negative. The first one said, my husband is like the meat of a lean, weak camel, which is kept on the top of a mountain. So it is a lean, weak camel, which is very far on top of the mountain, which that mountain is neither easy to climb, nor is the meat so fat, nor is the camel so fat, that it might be worth the trouble of going to fetch that camel. Meaning, he was miserly. Did not provide for the family. And then each and every one went on to make mention with regard to the qualities of the husband. And the last one was, the 11th one was, my husband is Abu Zara. And what can I say about Abu Zara? Umme Zarma Zara said, my husband was Abu Zara. And then she goes on to say, he has given me so many ornaments, so many earrings, that my ears are heavily loaded with the earrings. All right? And he has pleased me, and I become so happy that I feel proud of myself. He found me with my family, who were mere owners of sheep and living in poverty, and he gave me a respectful life. Whenever I say something, he does not get angry. When I sleep till late. I can imagine the woman getting happy with that. And she goes on to make mention with regard to the qualities of Abu Zara. And then eventually what happens is Abu Zara then went on an expedition, saw another more beautiful wife than Umm Zara, and he got married to her and he divorced Umm Zara. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam heard the whole story and he told Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, I will be to you like Abu Zara. Abu Zara is to Umm Zara, except that I won't divorce you. Now this was light-hearted moments in marital life. 11 women speaking about their husband in poetry form. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sitting with it, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. So I think what is important is, and some guidelines, set boundaries. There need to be certain time where you spend time with your family, no mobile devices. And I don't need to go into that particular aspect with regard to how our obsession with our mobile devices and social media is taking us away from fulfilling the rights of our family and spending quality time. It's important that certain time we leave the mobile devices away and we're able to spend quality time with the family. Listen to each other and be interested in each other's lives. Don't only just take it for granted. Listen to each other. Don't just become, you know, a typical example today is, before we can listen to one another, we want to give our viewpoint. So a husband comes home and said, do you know what happened today? I had such a hectic day. I had to do this, I had to do that. Now, instead of listening to the husband, the wife would say, what hectic day you had? Can you imagine what hectic day I did? And before he could even make mention with regard to his challenges at work, she goes and make mention with regard to her challenges. We haven't heard the spouse out. So listen to each other and be interested in each other's life. Stay connected. Sometimes, you know, once a week, go out as a couple as a team. So it's important that we speak these type of things. You know, it's very important that we understand this. And one thing that I maybe forgot to make mention with regard to the authority of the husband, remember that in marriage, it's not about scoring points over one another. We need to take out the best qualities of one another, which Allah Ta'ala has given both the husband and wife. Allah has given certain qualities to the husband and Allah has given certain qualities to the wife. And we have to take out the best from both the qualities and the temperaments of one another, to be able to complement one another and be able to achieve our vision. And that particular aspect would even help us with regard to our children. When we fulfill the roles of one another and we are not scoring points over one another. So sometimes, maybe, you know, it's very important. I won't give much time, but I will just very briefly make mention. And in this particular regard, we need to have a realistic goals and objective. Sometimes you might feel that a realistic or at least ideal goal is, I will work at, I will work from 8 o'clock to 4 o'clock, 4 o'clock I'll come home and I will be able to spend time with my family. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. So sometimes we might not be able to strive or achieve the perfect schedule, but we have to have a realistic schedule. There will be days when you might have to spend more time at work. And there will be other days where you will spend more time with the family. Balance is achieving overall balance and not necessarily each day with an inflexible schedule. So what is meant by fulfilling the rights and being giving quality time is not necessarily that you always have a fixed schedule that I will come home at 4 o'clock, I will come home at 5 o'clock, but it means an overall balance and spending quality time. Although there might be sometimes a situation where you might not be able to have a strict schedule. So be flexible with regard to the schedule. One small point, I will just add one or two small points, although I have spent some more time with points on working from home. So now working from home has also become something that has come into our lives due to COVID. Now working from home has allowed us some ease. We don't have to worry about traffic jams. We don't have to worry about the rush hour. We don't have to worry about taking lunch. So the lunch could be readily available. However, at the same time, it has blurred the lines between our different roles. We may be at home, but we don't have a clear cut-off point. So remote work and working at home presents its own challenges. Working outside the office in the house brings about a situation of multitasking, distraction, difficulty keeping strict hours, and all of that is bad news for finding the right balance and in keeping work and family life separate. And remember, we must not mistake convenience for balance. So working at home might be convenient, it does not necessarily mean the right balance between fulfilling your work and fulfilling your domestic responsibilities. There are many aspects that I felt that I should have touched on, but I think I will conclude with this. And if there's anything that we need to maybe making mention of, and if there's any questions, we can look at that. And even if we don't have the time now, over the next, whenever people do have challenges, Alhamdulillah, the Jamiatul Ulama Social Department, and there are ulama within the fraternity, within the Jamiatul Ulama, that will be able to help people with regard to the challenges they are facing in their domestic life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Have been coming in as the program was going on. I think a lot of it was with regard to our limit being reached. Alhamdulillah, very successful meeting. I think we did not expect so many people to join. Alhamdulillah. You also mentioned that, you know, a few questions. There are some which may be unrelated to the topic, and perhaps our officers are there to contact with regard to other support. But just to take two or three questions with regard to what is relevant to the discussion of balance. Anonymous sister was asking the question, what is the meaning of supporting one another? Is it as far as daily knowledge, doing business, other hobbies or goals? What does it mean to support each other?
Well, I would look supporting in every aspect. So when we look at the life of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was fulfilling the you know, domestic responsibilities. He was at home. He was in the service of his family. You know, even for example, let me just give you an example. Look at Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala is an example. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala is amongst the most widely transmitted ahadith have been narrated from Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, over 2,000 ahadith. Right? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't stifle her with regard to her progress in this particular regard. Never said that you must not acquire knowledge. She was amongst the most knowledgeable with regard to dini matters. So, for example, Abu Musa Ashari radiallahu ta'ala says, never did the companions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a difficulty in understanding some matters of deen. And they approached Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, and the matter and the query that they had was not satisfied by the explanation given by Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not stifle her to be able to achieve that knowledge. So when we say we support, I would say support in every way. Firstly, we must support, because one of the responsibilities of the husband is to take care of the holistic needs of the wife, right? And for the wife to support the husband in his vision and his responsibility. So for example, it is a husband's responsibility to take care of the financial, to take care of the social, to take care of the physical, to take care of the emotional, and to take care of the spiritual needs of the wife. وَأَمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ. Command your family members to perform salat, and you also remain steadfast upon it. قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِكُمْ نَارًا. Save yourself and the family members from the fire of Jahannam. So when we talk about support, I would look upon it as a holistic support. The wife must be the one who must give motivation, must be the one who gives support to the husband in terms of him. If there is a challenges with regard to his business or challenges with regard to his work, she must be able to motivate. She must be able to inspire. Must be able to say, all right, why don't you try this? Give this particular aspect. Don't become, don't now become like someone who is nagging. Like nagging is like a dripping tap, which becomes quite frustrating. But at the same time, you can lend support. So in short answer to the question, I think it means each and every aspect of support.
This won't be the last webinar program we'll be having, inshallah. The intention is to try and address different issues within marriages and social issues. One specific question that maybe relates to our topic is states the following. Salams, my husband is of the opinion that he will use his time playing soccer, playing paddle tennis as and when he wants. And he says, I am being dramatic or performing when I ask for his time. Please advise
one. Well, I've tried to bring that up in today's program, that there is great amount of emphasis in Islam to spend quality time with a family. Yet at the same time, I'm a little bit hesitant to say that it must become such an obsession, or it must become something that is constantly being nagged. See, at the same time, husbands or men also sometimes require the company of their friends, socializing, as long as it is kept within limit. The point is the two extremes. The one extreme is that you must only spend time at home. So what we said in the beginning of the program, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا, the middle path is the middle path between the two extremes. What will be the two extremes? One extreme is, no, you can't go out with your family, you can't go out with your friends, you can't socialize, you can't go and play sports. I mean, the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did go and play sport. He, in the sense that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to go and see the archery. He saw the Sahaba one day racing, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed with them while they were racing. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged them with regard to the racing. So there is that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also spent time in that. So the one extreme would be that you can't go out at all, you can't socialize, you can't be with your friends. And the other extreme is that you only spend time at home, or the other extreme is you all the time with your friends and you don't give time to your family. Find the medium, find the right balance between the two extremes. So once you know the two extremes, you might be able to be easier to find the middle path between the two extremes. So yes, there will be a time for socializing. There will be a time for husband to play some form of sports. It's good for him also with regard to his health to be, you know, exercising as long as it is done within the Sharia. And yet at the same time, he also finds time to do, you know, quality time at home. And really, it's possible. You know, if we are flexible with one another, we understand one another, we will be able to get the balance between the two extremes. So yes, you can spend quality time at home, and yet at the same time, you will be able to socialize. I mean, see, at the end of the day, a human being is a social being. He likes to interact with friends. There will be some times that he needs to do exercise and play sport. But as long as it is done within, you know, reasonable limits, and he finds the right balance.
Questions that are now coming towards the end. I think I'm a little bit exhausted our time.
Maybe we can take one more time. We've got a few minutes before the 9 o'clock cutoff.
Inshallah, we've directed most of the questions to make contact with us.
Okay,
Jazakumullah. Around what has already been mentioned in the program. If there's anything, we've directed others to make contact with us, inshallah. I see some of our participants also. I think they've balanced their time and now perhaps looking to spend some time with the family. We'd like to thank all our participants. Jazakallah. In terms of our participation, it exceeded our expectations in terms of the amount of people. Jazakallah khair. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it the means of creating value within your marriage. We say Jazakallah to Maulana also. For taking our time from your busy schedule and giving us this time. It's really appreciated. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a means of goodness. As we mentioned, inshallah, this type of webinars are something we intend to do much more regularly as part of our social departments and medical departments. With that, inshallah, we end off. Wallah, if you would like to just maybe a short dua within 2 minutes to end off.
Allahumma laka alhamdu kama yanbaghi li jalali wajhika wa azimi sultanik. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم مغفرتك أوسع من ذنوبنا ورحمتك أرجى عندنا من أعمالنا ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين وجعلنا للمتقين إماما يا الله يا رحم الراحمين يا أول الأولين يا آخر الآخرين يا راحم الضعفاء والمساكين forgive our shortcomings يا الله our shortcomings are many your mercy and forgiveness is far greater than this يا الله forgive us not because we are worthy but because you love forgiveness. Ya Allah, make us worthy servants of yours. Ya Allah, make us, Ya Allah, practice upon all of your commands, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all of your commands, Ya Allah, keep us steadfast upon your deen, Ya Allah. Let us die upon your deen. Resurrect us upon your deen, Ya Allah. Make all the affairs of the year after easy for us until you grant us entry into Jannatul Firdaus by your grace. Ya Allah, part of fulfilling your deen, Ya Allah, is to fulfill our responsibilities to one another in marriage, and with regard to social interaction and to fulfill the rights of human beings. Ya Allah, grant us the necessary temperament and the wisdom and the kindness and the compassion and the necessary qualities to be able to fulfill that role, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, do not let us be oppressive towards anyone, Ya Allah. Do not let us be unjust towards anyone, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us steadfastness in deen, Ya Allah. And above all, Ya Allah, we ask of you, Ya Allah, your guidance and protection in each and every matter. Ya Allah, we are living in a country where despite our challenges and the difficulties we have, Ya Allah, we can have a relative, Ya Allah, time of, Ya Allah, security, Ya Allah, be able to spend time with our families, Ya Allah, with our children, with our wives. Ya Allah, the people in Palestine don't have that luxury, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, they do not know when my husbands go out in the morning or even normally whether they will be able to sleep in a safe manner. Ya Allah, you make it easy for them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant them relief, Ya Allah. You grant them safety, Ya Allah. You grant them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant them, Ya Allah, the ability to resist the oppression, Ya Allah, and grant them victory, Ya Allah. And Ya Allah, you grant them relief from the oppression that they are facing, Ya Allah. And you grant ease to all of us in all our different myriad challenges that we have, Ya Allah. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khairi khalqihi, Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika, Ya Rabb. Mohammed, who did that, the presentation and the slideshow? Someone helped?